In our continuing World View series, travel journalist L. Andrew Warner is about to take us on a mental journey to Estonia. Welcome to Talking Travel.
Thank you. Thank you for inviting me.
It's always a pleasure. You always have such great adventures. I get so jealous when I read all of this. And what's so amazing in this particular article that you did is that I wasn't aware that Estonia was your ancestral homeland.
Yes, my mother and father were both born there.
And it's really quite amazing because when we got into it, that your parents came here, what was it, just after the Second World War, I guess, huh?
They fled Estonia just before the Soviet occupation in 1944, just days before. They didn't know each other. They met each other after. And they ended up in the Estonian Displaced Persons Camp in West Germany.
And that's where you were born, wasn't it?
And that's where I was born, yes.
How amazing.
It's quite a story when I look back now and think, my gosh.
Yeah, I mean, thank God you were young. That's what I always say, you know. Thank God we were young and probably don't remember a lot of it. But, one doesn't know what the conditions were there, but I would think they certainly weren't too terrific. And anyway, then you said you went back and visited Estonia for the first time after what, 1991?
In 1991, about 3 weeks after Estonia regained its independence.
Right, and you were a little bit concerned, weren't you?
Well, you know, when you're brought up as we were in the Estonian culture, it was as it was for other cultures, I presume, the ancestral homeland was like an impossible dream for it ever to be free again. I mean, freedom
right.
was just something you just couldn't imagine it breaking free. It was such a little country.
Right.
So you never really, the option of ever going back was really not there. So it was this homeland that would forever be in chains.
Right.
So when it did become so suddenly free in 1991, you really are left at all these years talking about the homeland. Now you can go home, and what do you do? Do you go home? Is it home? Is it not? There's two homes. There's a physical home where you're comfortable, where, as one Dr. Eckstein, a child refugee as well, and an author and a professor in Toronto, he says, home maybe is measured by the comfort level, you know, your
right.
language, institution, manners, morals. Canada is home.
Right.
But there's also psychological home, and when you can go back, where's home?
Yeah, exactly. And then what I found especially interesting, because I wasn't aware of it, but you mentioned about the excellence, particularly in academic sports and music, was demanded of you because you were Estonian, and I thought that was just absolutely fascinating.
There was, when we went to school, you know, the English school during Monday to Friday, as
right.
everyone else does, and then you had school on Saturday, and then you had other kinds of religious instruction on Sunday. So, and there was always this demand, this you had to be the best. You had to have high marks. You had to, everyone took, you know, piano lessons, accordion, whatever. You had to be the best. And if you were in sports, you had to be the best. And it was just part of that culture. And I think it put you at a demand. I mean, it put you at quite a pressure. And, you know, when I talk to some of them that are now older, there's still that pressure to perform.
And
I mean, it's a good thing, and it also has a demand.
Well, it has puts a lot of pressure on you, doesn't it?
Mm-hmm.
Now, let's talk about Estonia, and you refer to it as the jewel of the Baltic.
When I first went back in 1991, I was just amazed at the things that were there. I was still there when they had the long lineups in the stores, and that was very much different when I went back again. But
right.
I was just amazed walking in there into medieval Tallinn, the center of Tallinn, the capital of Estonia, and seeing this absolutely wonderful medieval cobblestone streets, the churches, the buildings. And I've traveled Europe quite a bit and always am amazed at, you know, buildings that are 1,000 years old or 800, 500. And here it was in this my homeland. And this absolutely gorgeous sort of secret jewel that was medieval, that was just wonderful.
And you talk about the town hall, which is the only intact Gothic town hall in Northern Europe, as you say.
Yes, it dates back to the 12th century. And interesting, it's like the old town squares. All the main streets at that point converge into the town hall square.
Right, and then of course you You talk about St. Olaf's Church, the Great Coastal Gate, and Fat Margaret's Tower.
They have some interesting names, don't they?
They sure do.
Yeah, it's actually in Estonian. It's Paks Margarita.
Right.
And it's a massive cannon tower at end of Pick Street, which is a very historical medieval street. Its waist measures 78 feet. Its walls are 13 feet thick, and it's now a maritime museum. The name came from deep into the geek in the gekok, which means peep into the kitchen. It's a low German name.
Uh-huh.
And soldiers used to watch the housewives cook, so peep into the kitchen.
And there's still some thatched roof buildings, I understand.
There is, as you not so much in Tallinn, but as you go outside the city, in the various villages, yes, there are still thatched houses, you know, thatched roofs and that. Not as much, though. There's more the wood frame buildings.
And what I don't think any of us that are involved with the show realize that you give lectures on Estonia, its history and the people.
Yes, a lot of it tied in to the own experience of the child refugee experience and just that culture. It's a very vibrant culture. It's been around for 5,000 years, one of the oldest cultures in Europe. And it's always stayed within its boundaries. It hasn't been an expansionist country. And when I came to Canada, just after the, it was 5 or 6 years after the war, maybe a little bit more than that, and it was amazing. No one heard of Estonia, and it was like this old culture, but my gosh, how come nobody knows about it?
Yeah.
Its language is ancient. Its language is tied into the Finnish and Hungarian language, the Finno-Ugric language, and that isn't tied into the mainstream of languages in the world.
Very interesting. And let's go to some of the history. I think you mentioned that we could start with the population, which you mentioned is about 400,000.
That's in Tallinn.
In Tallinn, yes. And the city dates back to 1154, as you say. And the name comes from the Danes.
Yes, it's. That was in the Viking days, and you know the wars of the Hanseatic League and all these things. And in 1219, when the Danes took control of the city, the townsfolk, the English Estonian townsfolk, began to call it Dani Linn, which means Danish city in Estonian.
Mm-hmm.
And that sort of just stuck. It actually, the flag of Denmark is supposedly have come from that battle in Tallinn, Estonia, and they thank Estonia for the flag because it seemed to have come from the sky, and that became Denmark's national flag.
Interesting. And then where would one go from there? It was the Danes were there, and then what happened? Then, of course, the Second World War changed everything.
Well, during the time from the Danes to the time of the Second World War, it went through many different occupations and different many intrusions. The Swedish were there for a while, the Germans, the Russians. Sweden was there for quite a long time. And it gained its independence for the first time as a separate nation in 1918. Then it was free and independent until 1940 when the Soviet Union marched in during the Second World War.
Germany. What was just to get off the history? Well, it's part of history. Is that certainly your history? Is that your parents didn't know one another at the time they fled to Canada?
No, they didn't. My father left. He was in the merchant marine, and he actually could not get out his first wife, his childhood sweetheart, first wife, and his two sons, his two young sons, and my mother. Had already lost her first husband, didn't know where he was, and they both separately fled because within hours Tallinn would have fallen and the Iron Curtain would have gone down and they would not have gotten out. And my father would probably have been executed for being in the Merchant Marine. And
goodness.
So they didn't meet until later in Estonia, in Germany.
That's amazing, isn't it?
It really is, you know, the separation of families that never saw each other, mothers that never saw their children again, you know, husbands and wives. It really was a terrible time. And their story perhaps was not unique in that time period.
And it's very difficult when one lives in this country, in North America, and has never been exposed to that. And when one reads about it, you begin to get the full impact of what people went through in those times, which was
well,
just...
Well, you know, even as their daughter, I really didn't appreciate that, what the emotional trauma that they must have gone through until I had my own children. And I think in terms of what if you never saw your one-year-old again or your four-year-old again,
yeah,
ever.
I couldn't conceive of it. Yeah, I couldn't...
And, you know, you knew if you went back, you'd be killed. So it was a very difficult for very many people.
Yeah.
But, you know, the will of the human person is strong, and you go on and you live.
Yeah, there's some amazing stories out there, and I've read a lot about that time, those times, and just some incredible things.
Well, I remind my people, though, that my parents and other relatives that I have back in Estonia, that, hey, if it hadn't happened, I wouldn't have been born. So there are some very good things about it.
Certainly for that one. Now, let's talk about food, because you talk about the food, but you don't really get into the food. Tell us about Estonian cuisine, if you will.
It seems to have changed. When we grew up, I mean, there's some traditional things you had, like something like pierogies, but we call it pirukat. And cabbage kind of things, a potato salad that has beets in it, and we call it the pink salad, rosolje. And I didn't find as much of that back in Estonia now. I think as my one half-brother that is over there that I met for the first time when I was there, they feel like they had come out of a cave, and now they're trying to catch up to the rest of the world very quickly. So a lot of it was adapting to the food that the rest of the world was eating. But there are some traditional things. We did not celebrate Thanksgiving because it wasn't something that was in the culture. We did in Canada, but traditionally there wasn't. But cabbage rolls, not cabbage rolls, but the sauerkraut, the potato salad that's pink,
right.
A lot of pork,
right.
That kind of thing.
And just to wrap it up, for those that have access to their computer, if you go online, you can read this article in depth, and there's some wonderful photos that accompany it as well. But just geographically for our audience, tell us about where Estonia is situated, if you will.
Estonia is really, if you find Finland and Helsinki, it's right across the Gulf of Finland. And it's in that little peninsula that sticks out from that's right underneath Finland.
And you have Stockholm, Copenhagen, Moscow, St. Petersburg, all very close by.
Yeah, St. Petersburg is just to the east of it. Small country.
Wonderful, wonderful article, and you've certainly convinced me that I need to do a trip there, and maybe we can bring the team over and do a special on Estonia.
That would be wonderful.
I think it'd
really
be great.
Wonderful place.
We just have to pick the right time of year, because I'm a... You know, living in Florida, I'm a warm climate guy.
Well, it's beautiful in the summertime. Spring, summer, and fall is beautiful.
I'm sure. I'm not accustomed to the cold weather like you are there and up in Canada, no less.
We don't like it, but some of us don't like it anymore.
Yeah,
but you bear it.
I just want to clarify one thing. Is your name pronounced L? Is that the way you do? Is the E silent, or how do you pronounce your first name?
In Estonian, my name is Elle.
Elle, okay.
But when I came to Canada, a lot of people had trouble saying it, so somehow it got changed, and it's not said the way it's said in Estonian. But it is Elle in Estonian.
Elle. And how do they pronounce it in Canada?
When I came, they pronounced it Ella, which was totally off the wall, and in the last 10 years I reclaimed and at least got L rather than people couldn't switch to Elle.
Or L-E, we would think.
Oh, no, not L-E.
Right, exactly. It's a pleasure, and we look forward to speaking with you next time. We've got to run. And,
okay, take care, and thank you very much.
Thank you very much. Bye
take
for
care.
Now.
Bye-bye.
Well, that was L. Andra Warner. What a fascinating story. I'd like to at some point talk to her more about the childhood and the parents, and I think we just tend not to appreciate what these people went through during those times.